The views and opinions of this program do not reflect those of HeritageRadioNetwork.org or any of our sponsors. All content of this program is the responsibility of Full Service Radio and is assumed to be played and performed with the permission of its respective owner.
Full Service.
Yeah. Bushwick Internet World, what's good? This is Jack Inslee. You're locked into Full Service Radio on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org and Gunwash.com here every single Thursday night from 9:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For people that are not with us here on the East Coast, we're about to get a really big storm, I think, a big snowstorm. So that'll be interesting. Big shout out to TechServe, who sponsors Full Service Radio now and again, and is sponsoring this episode tonight. So if you've got a Mac, if you want to get a Mac, TechServe is the spot, not the Apple Store. Shout out to Meepom and David and Kevin and everybody else at TechServe. Very special show tonight. As you know, if you've been listening for the past few weeks, tomorrow is Full Service the Party. The headliner is Rizla. Rizla's here with me right now. What's good?
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Here, hold on.
There we go.
There he is.
Yes, Full Service tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mess Kid, Knife Show, Jubilee.
Rizla, are you afraid of this storm?
Not at all. Especially at Tandem. It's a shelter.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. It's going to be packed the fuck out at Tandem.
Yes, exactly.
236 Troutman Street in Bushwick. That's a free party, and you can hear Rizla, you can hear Jubilee, you can hear Mess Kid and Knife Show, who is Rectech and me. By the way, the theme for Full Service Radio is by Rectech. Have to give him a shout out for that. Because I do like that track. It's a fun track.
Yes, I was going to say. I wanted to know what that was.
So we're here at Roberta's. Dude, you can get right ready behind the decks right now. Behind the, I don't know, what would you call it? It's not decks. It's like
the board.
Behind the board, yeah.
The board.
Get ready behind the board. I want to get right into this set, which is going to be full of life. And we'll have plenty to talk about after the set. Thanks to Sarah Devine for engineering this week's show. Like I said, this is Rizla. You can find more about the show and the party at fullserviceparty.com, and you can find us in iTunes and Stitcher as a podcast. So if you found us, come back next week. Stay with us every week. Like I said, Rizla is about to play. We'll see you in 45 minutes for an interview. Full Service Radio. We'll be right back.
service.
Me quedo, 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 me qu Bobby.
Gunwash in the building. Full service.
Batman.
bailan los adultos, también los niños.
Lo bailan los frafra, es el baile del trap.
Lo bailan los adultos, también los niños.
Lo bailan los frafra, es el baile del trap.
Con la mano en la cabeza y mirando para atrás.
Así se baila el trap, así se baila el trap.
Y con la mano en la cabeza y la pierna para atrás.
Así se baila el trap, así se baila el trap.
Locked into the sounds of RZA, full service.
world, it's Manny Fresh, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
I'm gonna go get some more. get that on the count of three, bitch. Oh, ready, bitch. That check on the count of three, bitch. Oh, ready, bitch. Let it all out, bitch. Bring it back on the count of three, bitch. Oh, ready,
two for the set.
Oh, ready, bitch. Two for the set. Oh, ready, bitch. Oh, ready, bitch. Two for the set. Oh, ready, bitch. Oh, ready, bitch. Two for the set. Oh, ready, two for the set. Oh, DJ. One, two, 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 two.
Full Service Radio. God damn, that is energy music. I'm not a man that would do such a thing, but that might make me want to just take a bunch of Adderall and like run around my spot and clean. That was really energetic. You've been listening to the sounds of Rizla for the past 45 minutes. Homie, thank you for that.
Of course, of course.
That was a hell of a set.
Thank
well,
you,
I want to get right into some questions. As I told you, this is a food radio station, so I've got to open the interview like this. You've got your dream gig. You can have whatever you want to eat in your rider after your set. What would be waiting for you?
Oh, that is like, since moving to New York, there is a DJ eating schedule that I've adopted, which means you don't eat until, I don't know, 4:45, 5 o'clock in the morning. So after a gig like that, all right, so have you been to a Vietnamese restaurant where they give you the tiny little spring rolls, but they give you lettuce as well?
Yeah.
Where you get the double crunch, you like wrap the spring rolls in lettuce. That shit.
Wow.
That's what I would want at that time in the morning.
It's like the first realistic good answer I got.
Any sort of Vietnamese food at that time of night is perfect, because you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I just ate a bunch of vegetables. I don't feel terrible.
That's not Kennedy fried chicken.
Exactly.
The polar opposite.
It's not the poison.
No, that is straight poison. And unfortunately, there's a Kennedy fried right outside Tandem that we like to stay away from after
it's
full
poison.
Service.
Oh, God. I love fried chicken. I love shitty fried chicken, but that's just poison.
Yeah, if there are any like aspiring Vietnamese restaurateurs out there... A late night spot in Bushwick, you might have something. You might have something. We'll be there for you.
A truck that serves the lettuce wraps. That would be the best.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that set, like as I said, was energetic as fuck. I kind of want to get to the origins of your DJing and production. I know you're from Boston. Were you born there?
No, I actually grew up and was born in Long Island. So
no shit, where?
West Hempstead.
Get the fuck out, so dude. I'm from West Babylon.
Okay, yeah, got it. Yeah,
Long Island
no! connection. So this is like a weird full circle homecoming for me. My family lives in Connecticut right now. So Connecticut, Hartford, was kind of right where I started DJing. The first show I ever DJed was actually in Hartford. So shout out the Hartford Party Starters Union.
Wow.
They're the only people pushing our sound in the city right now. But I was in Boston for school, so I stayed there and I worked for a little bit. And I started my first night like regularly DJing when I was in Boston.
In Boston. Yeah. What school was that?
I went to Brandeis for my grad degree,
I
basically did what I wanted.
So we have a lot of mutual friends from Boston, too. I know Gareth and Cole.
Oh, shut up. Yes.
Those dudes.
Yes, Gareth is awesome.
So
does he still live there or did he move?
I think he's still there. I'm not positive, though.
Yeah.
So where were you throwing parties in Boston? Were you also in Jamaica Plain area? Or?
I lived in Jamaica Plain for a while, and then I lived in Somerville, Davis Square area, which are the two crunchiest places probably you can live in the city. I was doing parties with a variety of people, my DJ buddy Dahana, False Witness, Marco, Black Adonis Justin, and Leah V were our little DJ crew. We started doing kind of weird queer nights for people who wanted to hear not top 40 remixes, and in Boston there wasn't much of a market for that at first, so we started kind of throwing queer nights on Tuesdays at Zuzu's at the Middle East in Central Square, which is where a lot of people in Boston who DJ pass through Zuzu's at some point. It's like a tiny 100-person bar that has like now a really good sound system. I'm actually going back next Tuesday to play where my friends are still throwing a party there. So we started that, and then it slowly became kind of like the closest thing to kind of like a Fade to Mind kind of Night Slugs, Mixed Pack sort of, you know, that Body High sort of family sound in Boston. And we've had a lot of great DJs play there, like Kingdom played there a bunch of times, and Venus, the first shows Venus X ever played in Boston were there, and Jess Jubilees played there. So we booked a lot of people there, kind of pushed our sound, made a mixtape or two for it. And then I actually moved right after the 3-year anniversary of the party.
Okay.
New life. And most of my friends are on their way to New York if they haven't been here already. So
good thing. So I'm interested to know, like, was it something you had to promote as Queer Night to kind of get people out? Because that really, I mean, in New York, ghetto gothic has really just been like the staple for this sound. And it's not even necessarily, you know, promoted in that way.
Yeah.
Was that tricky in Boston?
Well, we were always like Boston. You have to spell things out a little bit more for people. So it was like mixed sexual orientation, gender, weird music. If you feel comfortable with either of those things, come check it out. But we were kind of pushing, because like we were definitively not throwing a gay party, because we, most of our favorite DJs are straight and our favorite producers are straight. So it wasn't like a, oh, well, we don't think the straight scene is taking care of it, so we're going to do our own version. Like we were, you know, collaborating with Little Internet, who's still around Boston once in a while. And
out to Julian.
Yeah, outs to Julian and to Pete Debnall, who is Boston's greatest secret as far as DJs go. So we had like a really great network of people who were, you know, somewhere in our kind of sub, you know, queer scene, but there was a lot of people who were just like bass heads who were kind of like, all right, we want something that's a little bit more, for lack of a better term, ghetto gothic-y. Because like, you know, sure. I've been friends with Venus for a while and, you know, have been really inspired by their scene, and same thing with, you know, the Fade to Mind crew, all across the board, the Wildness Party that Nguzu and Total Freedom used to throw out in LA. So we were kind of positioning ourselves in a network of other people and parties who had similar ideas, but we wanted to have a really diverse crowd from the get. And, you know, thankfully we were able to get that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'm curious where sort of sexual freedom and that sort of thing kind of plays into your approach. I mean, those who know of the EP on Fade to Mind know you have a song called Dick. I mean, it's like it's out there, but is it really something you're trying to push, or does it just happen to be something that's a part of your creative process?
Well, I think there's a music, dance music and club music to me, like if there isn't some sort of a sexual element to it, I'm not particularly into it. I mean, like, I mean, I've spent my time in all sorts of sub electronic music scenes and appreciate them all for what they are. But we like to have, it's kind of like the sonic equivalent of FetLife. Like, you know, it's like really sex that could be really scary to other people, but is totally cool and consensual. That kind of idea. And, you know, but the funny thing was, is our parties, like we were like, sure, people may have hooked up there, but we wanted to throw a party for, you know, the greater GLBT family that specifically wasn't about getting laid, which was like a shocker, because it was like, I mean, please come have sex at the party kind of vibe. But it was more like, hey, you can be whatever you want here, but you don't just have to perform yourself to go get laid. You can come and like listen to cutting edge music that eventually the city will catch up to. Yep. But, you know, kind of that idea of like it being a place for expression, but not necessarily a mandate that like if you don't take someone home you're a failure, you know what I mean? Like,
right, or if you're straight you're a failure, because I feel like
exactly.
like the door ends up getting closed to a lot of straight people who would otherwise really lose their minds and have fun.
Exactly.
And why do you think that it's such an intimidating, I mean, a lot of straight friends of mine, they don't go to ghetto gothic because they're like, oh, I don't know, you know,
yeah,
I don't know if I can go there.
Why
is that, and can you kind of like dispel that as a myth right now, you know?
Well, I think, and I don't know who wrote it, because they wrote it under an alias. There was this really horrible thing on, it was like a really poorly written, like, queer rap scene write up on, I think it was like Noisy on Vice.
Okay.
Where it was like someone, it was some anonymous thing, and they put out a lot of really good shit, but there was this one article, it was like someone who was peripherally went to ghetto gothic, went to see Leaf, Mickey Blanco kind of early in the day, and they wrote this thing, a straight guy's guide to queer rap or something, and it was just all wrong. And like, and like the one point they made about ghetto gothic was like, there's tons of straight DJs and producers who play the party, like,
right.
And like it's New York, you know, ghetto gothic wouldn't have to overtly call itself a queer party, even though it started kind of more in those roots, because New York, there is like every party has more gender and racial diversity than most parties in the country.
Of
so
course.
Like things in New York, you get more of a melting pot. Ghetto gothic has an intense kind of like, it's our turn sort of element, which I think might scare people who are kind of like looking for more traditional electronica, I think, away, because like, you know, they'll play everything from like chopping up like a pop hip-hop record into like 2 million pieces, but then like also playing like a new Bach track or something like that,
right?
You know what I mean?
And I guess a lot of people just feel like they may not be cool enough. There's a whole fashion element that plays into it.
Hey, the fashion element I let other people take care of. I do the music. I let them worry about the clothes.
I'm with
yes
you, homie.
There is a fashion element. I mean, that's for people who want to go and get photographed. You know, there's always like the 2 million, like every party in New York has like 2 million hosts, and you know, shot
yep.
by this person and that person. It's part of like the creative industry around it. But pound for pound for music and just seeing DJs like performing rather than just blending, that's why I love love to watch Shane and Venus so much.
Absolutely. And I think the whole fashionista queer scene thing, those two things have been intertwined and maybe unjustifiably so.
Yeah.
So I mean,
very true. No, I mean, it's a whole other industry. And like, as Fashion Week approaches us, things are, you know, going to start to get
still book
crazy.
Rizla for every fashion week that's out there.
And I'll wear all black so I won't offend anyone.
Right. That's the move. Right? That's the safe move. Exactly. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about your production as well, and I assume the name Rizla comes from the obvious source of the rolling paper,
yes,
but I could be wrong.
The literal story, I went through several other more hilarious DJ names before I settled on Rizla, which with the extra Z is for the search engine optimization.
Smart man.
The extra Z keeps it
smart
from
man.
Maybe being a copyright issue in the future. Everyone's like, you should get them to sponsor you. I'm like, if they're aware of me, they're probably going to try to shut the name down.
So,
so
yeah.
I'm not going to go for sponsorship.
So.
But I used to only smoke the extra large Rizla licorice papers.
Whoa.
And like, they're really orange. And so I was playing some warehouse in outside of Hartford before I was even like a real DJ or whatever, when I was just kind of playing off of, you know, like, you know, iTunes and an iPod kind of thing. And someone's like, oh, what's your DJ name? And I was like, oh, I was like really fucked up. And I looked down and there's like this pack of Rizlas staring right up at me. And I was like, Rizla. Also, it's a true, the extra Z is for Sizzla, the dancehall reggae artist who was kind of a terrifying inspiration. He's a really scary dude, but he makes incredible music. So that was kind of a little nod to him as well.
Big up. We're supposed to end at 10:30, but I have to take a few more minutes because I want to talk to you about where dancehall and Jamaican culture play into your whole... Like, let's start from the beginning. What's your first earliest memory of finding music? What was the first sort of stuff you fell in love with?
I've always liked kind of like shimmery things that are really hard at the same time. I definitely was one of those kids who listened to a lot of like gangster rap growing up and various kinds of raised music from like jungle to happy hardcore. But it was always like that kind of heavy, fast sort of beat that I was like most into. And I was simultaneously going to like, you know, 18 plus gay clubs and, you know, sneaking into reggae nights with my friends. So it was like, I kind of developed a love for reggae while I was also listening to jungle. So, like, I used to, you know, for me, when I was listening to reggae, I was primarily originally listening to jungle remixes of reggae. And then eventually I was like, well, maybe let me give the slow shit a chance, too. So, and then Caribbean music in general, too, because it's like reggae and dancehall, but also a lot of soca and, you know, the Spanish-speaking islands like Puerto Rico and the DR. Are hugely influential. I spent a year when I was in undergrad. I went to Trinidad for a year. So down there, I got really into, I guess, like the entire sound that I, you know, more of my party sound, I guess, is really influenced by going to big soca parties and also gay parties in Trinidad and kind of the mix of, back at the time, crunk. It was like crunk, dancehall, and soca. That were played like primarily at these parties. So that high BPM at I used to go to soca parties, and before I knew what soca was or knew what to do
and
with
when
it.
When is this? Like
2006.
So you're way before the juke thing.
Yeah,
kind of took
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
and,
no,
I mean, not that juke hadn't been out for years before, but
no, and yeah. I love juke, but juke, and in the same way that grime are kind of things that I'm really interested in, but kind of outside of my main body, because I was like kind of being taught like what fast BPM meant in a Caribbean context, kind of, you know what I mean, and like still really liking hard style and happy hardcore. So over the years, I experimented with like, let me try putting like a hard kick and like something that's fast with kind of a dembo type beat. And that's where a lot of the stuff I played tonight is kind of either half tempo dancehall with like hard style instruments or, you know, double time stuff that has a soca Urbano sort of vibe to it, but still in a dark sort of hardcore kind of place. Because I used to walk around with one earbud in listening to jungle at soca parties. So I was hearing, and they're very close. Well, not very. Yeah, they're like, you know, 5-10 BPM away from each other. Yeah.
Yeah,
but they're definitely in the up there speeds. So.
And just so the listeners know, a lot of the tracks you played were original. And I mean, it's got to be kind of like, you're fortunate in a way, because I feel like you were way ahead of this trend of fast dance music. It sounds like you were tapped into this stuff years before it's become a mainstay of,
Yeah, and like I think the and I play a lot of the stuff like footwork and juke and all those kind of things, and the children of them, I love to hear stuff at that speed. Sometimes I'll incorporate it into my set, but there's it's fast for a different reason. I think a lot of the fast stuff now is like very intelligent, and the fast stuff that I grew up with was dumb as shit. You know what I mean? Just like slam your head against the wall, like 99 Red Balloon Happy Hardcore Remix yep. type stuff, like which I still love and will play on occasion. But
of course,
but that kind of era, being like a trashy raver, like it was like, you know, like a lot of that stuff is like ironically cool now or whatever. But like, you know, it was not necessarily like a cool section of the rave scene to be in. Back when I was like doing it, you know, when people were getting more into trance away from happy hardcore, when it got more Tiesto-y yep. as opposed to like, you know, bang in the box, you know, Bad Boy Bill compilation type stuff.
Well, I think you're a huge part of that kind of renaissance of intelligent fast dance music, and I think listeners should definitely go check out the productions. There's the EP Unfade to Mine, mm-hmm. and what else is kind
of... All right, so we have a lot of stuff in the pipeline, you know, South by Southwest being a huge point of coordination around releasing. I have... we're calling it the Tribute to Lisa Hype, who is the craziest female dancehall MC in the game right now. Her videos are outrageous. She's kind of like the scourge of the scene, but her voice is just really... abrasive and amazing. But me and Black Adonis have a song, Batty Jack, and the B-side that I played tonight. I didn't play Batty Jack tonight, but I played the B-side, Money Don't Sleep, and that's going to be the Lisa Hype tribute pack, which is coming out for free. Me and False Witness have a 3-track EP, all of the songs I played tonight. Mm-hmm. That once we get the artwork done, that's going to be coming out probably like beginning of March. And then me and Black Adonis have a full EP, a lot of tracks that I played from that as well. That's going to be coming out in April, and I teased a little bit of the material for Fade to Mind. The material for Fade to Mind is actually on a little bit of a different tip even than I played tonight. So,
gotcha.
Those are still in super super demo mode, but yeah, that will be coming up later this year.
I have to sneak in one more question because it's something that really interests me personally. Sort of how queer culture and Jamaican culture can live side by side, and do you see progress there? I mean, you've been tapped in, I think, to Jamaican culture and Caribbean culture, for that matter, for a while. And obviously, I mean, I don't know if listeners are aware, but there's a lot there. I mean, do the research. Mm-hmm. Do you see progress there?
There's been a insane, like, it's almost like hard to quantitatively document, but just there's been so much progress about gender and sexual diversity internally in the Caribbean, because the Caribbean's been under pressure for years from... either US or European groups to like update, but there have been a lot of movements in the Caribbean that are catering to the culture that's already there. I think there's a huge, huge movement that's going on. There's a transgender superstar in Jamaica named Shabata, who actually just started recording, and the first tracks that they recorded were a Beanie Man diss. So like, you know, like there's going to be a lot of, there's going to be a lot of connections there. And there's even people in New York, like, there's, you know, people from either artists, a lot of the kind of queer Caribbean conversation is developing in visual art right now, and it's kind of spilling over into music. You know, I've kind of been playing with that for a while, but there's, when all the things align, the Caribbean influence, or the more explicit Caribbean influence into queer culture will create a revival in queer culture. Needs the Caribbean culture right now.
They need each other, I think.
Yeah, they need to drop. They definitely is a lot of really exciting things that I think could happen. Music, I mean, we'll see. Like, I'm still searching for the lesbian Raga MC of my dreams, but I don't know. We'll see what happens with that.
Well, I hope in a few years we can go back and listen to this interview and see, you know, the point where before all that happened.
We'll hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, thank you so much for coming and playing tracks. And again, if you're still with us on the podcast, Full Service is tomorrow at Tandem Bar for free.
Yes.
It's a free party.
Free.
This is not even fair. The lineup is, it's like everyone's doing you guys a favor by playing this party and making it possible for it to be a
free
party.
It's because Tandem is the most fun place to play in New York City.
It is. It is. Fullserviceparty.com. Come to the party. Check out Rizla's music. That's RIZZLA.
Wow.
And you can find him on SoundCloud and all over the internet. Thank you so much. You got one more track to close the show with. What is it?
What's my last? I'm going to actually play one of my peak club time tracks that I've been having in my repertoire. It's by False Witness, his Tamalo bootleg. So
out to False Witness, who's played the party before as well. Yeah, you can get that all set up. Thanks again, man. And as I said, Full Service Radio is here every single Thursday night on heritageradionetwork.org, 9:30 p.m. Thursday nights. Find us on iTunes. Find us on Stitcher. Find us everywhere. If you found us, don't lose us. Thanks again to Sarah Devine. Shout out to Gunwash in the building. We'll be back next week with a really special Valentine's Day show. Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise. That's with a Z. He will be playing songs strictly for ladies next Thursday. So we'll see you guys then. We'll see you guys at the party. Keep it locked.